Go.
Okay, thank you for attending this joint session between BITS and ACPRA. This has proven to be a very, very fruitful and enjoyable partnership. Regrettably, I wasn't able to attend the session last year because of an iPhone, basically prototype of iOS 9, that I was sort of tapped on the shoulder and said, you really need to be here for this, and you're president of BITS. We'd kind of like to, you know, can't make you come, but we'd like for you to. And it broke my heart to not be able to catch Barbara and Betsy's presentation on digital mobile radio in real time, but rest assured I did catch it. Any case, not going back to the past, I just want to be the one to kick off the welcome, and I'm going to hand it off to the ACPRA president for a few words before we launch into EchoLink. John?
Okay, is it a wireless mic?
Yeah, it's wireless.
Okay.
And it's hot.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll if I get too loud, people tell me, please.
You're too loud.
I'm John Glass. My amateur radio call sign is
This
for PMs that are in the room. I live in Saratoga, California, and I'm the president of ACB Radio Amateurs. Like John said, we had a very good joint session last year between BITS and ACBRA, and we're really looking forward to having another one today. I just want to tell all of you that we are having our ACBRA business meeting on Thursday afternoon from 1:15 to 2:45. Okay.
Yeah. Inclusive of the
15 minutes. And we're going to be discussing business. We're going to allow people to just ask questions and talk about what they're doing in ham radio and all that kind of good stuff. And what we're also going to do at the meeting is we're going to be selling raffle tickets, as we've done in years past, for a Osheng or Waxon, depending on how you pronounce it and what country you're in. KGUV3D dual band handheld. It's a 2 meter 440 handheld transceiver that has some speech output. And one of the things that's really good is that there is accessible documentation for using this radio from a blind person's perspective. And so the radio is, I don't want to say fully accessible, but it is quite accessible for us, which is really nice. So we're gonna have a raffle at the end of the meeting. You don't have to be present to win, but you do have to come to the meeting to buy a ticket, and the tickets will be $5 each for people who want to do that. I guess that's really about all that I have to say. We're gonna be talking about EchoLink today. We're gonna be talking about it from the perspective of using it on iOS devices. And if time permits, there may be some other iOS ham radio apps that we can talk about and or demonstrate. Before we start our presentation, how about if we go around the room quickly and find out who all is here? I don't think we have a large enough number of people that we need to worry about time constraints. So. Let me hand the microphone to my left, and I'll let Steve introduce himself, and then we'll go around the room.
Here you go.
Thank you. Steve Dresser, WA1RTB, return to base, for those of you who want phonetics. I'm from Reading, Massachusetts, and that's about it. John?
Yeah. I'm John McCann. You've heard from me before. KW4U, kilowatt for us, or for you, and that's kind of ironic because I sort of like QRP, and I now have the opportunity to do it in a real way. Being a resident of Tucson for just this past year and having 15,426 square feet of land, I can actually put a reasonable antenna up. The Arizonans have a different sensibility about land, I'll tell you that. It's more plentiful out there. So the water acres? Isn't, but what?
How many acres, he said?
No, I don't know how many acres that is.
And I'm Tom Jones. I'm the BITS secretary, and I'm doing a capture on this.
The pool is a grappling.
We'll be all set and ready to go for posting, so I'll hand the mic to
Terry. Are you over there?
Yeah.
Game Center.
Hi, I'm Terry Horvath, and I'm the mic runner.
Echo Link.
Great, thank you.
Double tap moment.
Yes, and you're doing a wonderful job too, Terry. I'm John Amateur from west of Seattle. The call sign is Kilo Echo 7, Juliet Alpha. And if you look on EchoLink right now, you'll see that I'm actually on it.
Cool.
Cool. Mm. I'm Matt Arthur, KH0PQW from Ellendale, Minnesota. I just came up to the day. I wonder if I didn't come the wrong day. John didn't tell me about the Thursday meeting.
No, this is the one you want.
Oh, okay.
PQW. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Frank Peter from Eastern Washington, W7EBI, everybody's idol.
Who is it? That's a
I like that.
That's a new call, right? No call, OTT? No more OTT.
No, I used to be.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'm Rich Villa, Bid Secretary and newly licensed KG5OVO.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And he's going to get a vanity call.
I'm Barb, K1EIR, Shelton, Connecticut.
Oh, I think of the same thing.
Hello, I'm Betsy, K1EIC. Still section manager, Connecticut, retiring in October from that position after 25 years.
Congratulations.
Hey.
25 years.
Yeah. I'm Rick Lewis and 6KCR. I'm from Seattle.
All right.
Mindy Evans, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Ricardo Walker from New York.
Lynn Roberts, NALXK, Ohio, and maybe winter in Florida.
I don't blame him for that.
I'm Shirley Roberts, N8LX, November 8, Lima X-ray, and we currently live in Ohio.
Frank Welty from San Leandro, California.
Jill Noble from Ohio.
Tom Garrett. I'm anonymous on the air because I'm just working on getting into amateur radio. I'm from Wisconsin.
All right.
I'm Tom's wife, Nancy.
All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Right. Well, we might as well maybe just launch in. I've got EchoLink. Let's see if I got it open.
Waze.
No, I don't.
Page
okay.
46. EchoLink.
Okay, so we double tap.
Echo alert. Log stations. Heading.
Log stations. Okay, that's what it says. I'm going to go like from the top.
It might be worth just a quick. A quick intro.
Oh,
what EchoLink is.
Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, good point. Okay, just shout out when I screw up. It's okay. I'm not then scared. No, EchoLink is a program that allows you to interface with amateur radio using the internet. You do have to be licensed. They will not give you any credentials to do that until you can prove to them that you're licensed. So there's a sign up procedure where you put your call sign in, they go out to the FCC database and verify that you're legitimate, and then you're able to do that.
In fact, the program won't even let you in until you do.
Yeah.
You won't even see the list of stations.
Yeah, you won't see anything. And I do believe, and this was like going back to 02 or 03 when I first experimented with it, are you assigned a node? I think assigned a node, but you can get a vanity node if you want, because for whatever nodes in, I'm 1789. So if you look for, oh, he's cool. He's got his. We got. Check that out. We got Westminster. UK is coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a G call.
We don't even have EchoLink running.
We don't have EchoLink running, and the G and the 2E calls and the M's. You know, they even use an M now. You know, well, they have the MAA to MZZ block. So. Yeah, right. Okay. So this is a way to interface with amateur radio. Basically, you can use your iDevice, and we're going to talk about iDevice. You can use computer, too, to engage in communications. We call them QSOs, or just two-way communication with any other amateur radio as though it were a transceiver. But the beauty of this is, and Frank Ventura isn't in the room, but this was incredibly cool. I met Frank and his partner Nina Kagan at Midyear, and they were telling me about their repeater in wherever it is.
Newton.
Okay, I couldn't remember this. W1LJO, and they said, "Well, why don't you check in one evening?" And I did, and it was incredibly cool. Tim Cummings was on. The Blind Hams Net that they have at 7 p.m.
Yeah, on Thursday.
On Thursday at 7 p.m., 4 p.m. my time at least, until, the rest of the universe goes back on standard time.
But this is a repeater in Newton, Mass.
Yeah, it's a repeater in Newton, Mass, and I'm sitting out on the pool deck in Tucson, Arizona.
Talking on 2 meters.
Yeah, talking on 2 meters like I'm...
Normal 2 meters is just line of sight. Normal 2 meters would just be line of sight. I mean, you might get to some other town in Massachusetts, but you sure wouldn't get to Tucson.
You're not going
to
get across the country. We're not talking about, high-frequency communications. We're not talking about, say, someone who's got a humongous beam antenna and he's on short waves, what you would think of as traditional short wave, what we would call HF, high-frequency, between 3 and 30 megahertz communication. If I get too technical for the non-hams here, just let me know. But I am gearing this to a ham audience because, A, most of you are, and, B, the program is restricted to use only by radio amateurs. All right, so let's explore the screen.
Station. Search console. Stations. Heading.
Stations is heading.
Refresh. Button.
I guess you can refresh itself at the end.
Search call sign.
Okay,
and that will change. One of the reasons they have a refresh button is because as people connect and disconnect from Echolink, that screen kind of shifts around dynamically. So if you've been sitting, and you have over 7,000 stations on that screen, now you're not going to have to worry about all of them. And you can group them by country and, in a number of other ways. And you can search for them if you want to. If you know this is a specific one that you want. But that's why you have the refresh button, because the screen is changing all the time, and you may miss a few if you don't refresh it periodically.
Although, you certainly could just look for a call sign and take pot luck.
Right.
But the way I use it is I enter a call sign. We'll show that, but we'll continue on flicking to the right.
Refresh. All right. Button. Search call sign. Location.
That's what I'm going to. That's what I'm
going
to. See, listen to that.
Search call sign, location, or node. Search field.
Now, node is the number, if you knew that I was 1789, it's just as easy to remember KW4U, but if you somehow forgot that and you put in 1789, you'd find me. Location, I don't know, I guess you could restrict maybe the display by, if you said Tucson, Arizona, you might see what stations were either available or on.
Yes.
Okay. I've not tried that, so chime in.
5,863 nodes are online. Heading. 5,863 nodes are
online. So you got 5,863 people out there you could talk to. Right now. Just, pick any country.
Most of them won't be there to talk.
Okay. That may be true. But
that could be.
But they're connected.
And some of those may be repeaters that are, ready to be triggered. Okay. It's so cool. It's so geeky and it's so awesome. It is, man.
Star Echo Test Star, audio test server.
All right, that's the audio test server.
And that's really your friend. If you're not sure that things are working.
Yeah, oh, Steve, yeah. Grab the mic. Take.
Yeah, yeah. The audio test server is really your friend, especially when you're first getting set up. Because there's a few things, whether you're using an iDevice or whether you're using your computer, you want to make sure that your microphone is working. You want to make sure that you're hearing things. And especially with the computer, sometimes you get into some kind of goofy situations where you get one-way communication, which means you can hear things coming to you, but people don't hear you. And so if you have any doubt that things are not working right, or if you just want to find out if they are, log into the Echo Sound test server and sit there and listen to yourself, because basically what will happen is you'll make a transmission, you'll end the transmission, and what you just said will come back to you, so you'll get an idea of just how you sound to the rest of the world. Here you go, John.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to hand it to you the volume. Yeah, whenever you want to chime in, for sure.
Okay, I'll tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah, do that.
Locations. Button.
Okay, we can do locations.
Repeaters. Button.
Repeaters, that's incredibly cool. So that's when I wasn't sure whether it was W1, you know, whatever it was, I didn't know it was K1, and I just restricted it to repeaters. You can restrict that way.
Links. Button.
Links. I'm not sure how that works. Steve, do you know?
I think, yeah.
Take it and talk about it. Cause links, I don't know.
Links are people who...
Simplex.
Yeah, I think people who have got their own just simplex station, because what you can do, you know, most of the Echolink things that we talk about are repeaters, which are hooked up to this kind of internet interface, but occasionally you'll get hams who decide to just set up their own simplex station on Echolink. That's probably not a real practical thing to do unless you're living in an area where you're high on a hill or you got a Gigundus antenna. I mean, if I were to set up a link at my house, maybe people for, you know, 5 or 10 miles away could get into it with their radios, but, you know.
And you could walk around town.
And I could walk around town talking to people who were connected to my node, if there were any.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... It's just another way to do things. Here you go, John.
Okay. Where's the mic? Okay. So let's see where we was.
Conferences. Button.
Conferences. Do you know about talk about conferences?
Yeah.
I don't really know about repeaters. Steve knows all the good stuff.
A conference, sometimes what you'll get is 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 stations that are all connected together. For instance, we have one on Friday nights. The Blind Hams Net meets at 8 o'clock. And everybody gets on KY2D's repeater. Well, now we're all connected to this one repeater. Not to each other, but we're all talking to each other through the repeater. And this is what they call a conference, where you get, you know, 5 or 6 or however many people sign in, all connected to this one repeater. And so that becomes a conference.
But are conferences restricted, Steve?
Can you make a quick comment?
They can be.
Is that one?
No,
that one is not.
Go to KY2D and...
Yes, you could. Now, I don't know, there may be an upper limit of people that can sign into the conference. We've never hit it.
Okay.
But, you know, usually we have about 8 or 9 people.
Where is that repeater? Is that the one?
That's in...
like 99.
At the Seeing Eye.
Is it at the Seeing Eye? I think it's at his house.
It's in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay, Jim, what's his name?
Jim Koch. Let me make a quick comment here, too.
Okay.
Here you go, John.
One thing that I was just going to say also while we're talking about conferences is that many of you know about the HandyHam program. And Handy Hams has an Echolink conference. For those of you who have Echolink, it's node 494492. You can connect to it with that node number, or you'll find it just in the conference list. But if you're looking for blind hams to talk to, that's a really good place to go. And they have a net every day, 7 days a week, at 11 a.m. Central Time. And it's just kind of an informal net where people are able to check in and, you know, give weather reports and signal reports and talk about, you know, whatever it is that they'd like to talk about. But if you put Echo, if you leave this presentation and you say, you know, I'd really kind of like to try out Echolink and see what it's all about, and you install it, and then you're looking for someone to talk to, if you go to the Handy Ham conference server, you'll just about always find somebody there that'll come back to you.
Here you go. Got it. Here you go, Jeff.
Okay, now we'll just continue on.
I was
hoping
to try that, you know, while we're doing this.
You were going to.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Can I pull up my Echolink and see, because I have it.
Nice one. You got a note?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know that I have
it. Well, as soon as she connects, she's going to show up as a station.
Yeah, that's true.
So
if she's ever checked in, she's never signed.
You've
up.
Downloaded. Have you signed up?
Do you have a password and stuff? So you can log in. So that's when you get your. It says your location.
Well, if you're seeing that, then you must have. Must have credentials.
Yeah, it sounds like she's signed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your call sign?
She's KF4CHY.
Oh, my call sign is KF4CHY. I haven't been able to figure out how to do it.
Well, then I won't call you then. If you, well, no, because you wouldn't be able to respond. What I plan to do is to jump on K7EAR atop in Stafford, you know.
Wait a second.
I'm hearing two questions.
Oh.
Renee?
Does this mean I have a node already?
Well,
it sounds like it.
Well, maybe what we should really explain is what happens when you first run.
Okay, you do that because I don't remember. Okay.
Maybe the thing we should do here, because I think there's some confusion. When you first put Echo Link onto your iDevice, the first thing that happens when you go in, it's going to ask you to fill out a bunch of stuff. One thing is your call sign.
I did that.
Okay. And when you did that, you probably had to go verify it.
$1
Well, pay $1, but you see what you're actually doing is sending proof to Echo Link that you are who you say you are.
Uh-huh.
And until you do that, you don't see the list of stations or anything else. But you're seeing the list of stations, so that means you actually are there. And the minute you start the program, you show up online to everybody else in that gigantic list of stations that we were going through.
Uh-huh.
Your call is now in there. So if a friend of yours, or say one of us, who might be questionable friends, but I'm not saying you are questionable as a friend. I'm saying we are questionable as mm-hmm. friends. Just want to make that clear, as Richard Nixon did. But
so what I'm there.
Yeah. But your call would show up on that screen, and if we happened to be cruising around the screen and saw it, we could connect to you and talk to you. Now, of course, if you don't know how to find the transmit button and some other things, then that's not going to do you much good because we're going to be yelling at you and you won't answer us, and you know we'll get that out of shape.
But we'll show you how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have the list up, and it's telling me options and settings and repeaters.
Okay, so yes. you have to have credit. So,
and the reason that they have all those different things, the groupings, is because if you didn't, there's just so many people on that screen. And so, you know, repeaters and conferences and links. And you can even, if you want to, you can even group by location. So that, for instance, if I just want to see all the links in the U.S., I can do that. Or if I want to see just the links in California, I can do that. And that's even, in some ways, I think that's even easier to do on a desktop machine than it is on an iDevice, but it is possible to do it on both. And, of course, what iDevices have, which is truly nice, is the ability to just search for a call and just put it in.
Yeah, I see the search box up there.
Yeah. And so if you knew, like, for instance, if you wanted to beat John to the punch and connect to that K7EAR repeater, you could type that in, hit enter. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that search box, at least when I tried to use it, was instead of there being a button that you could hit outside of it, you just hit the enter key and it all of a sudden it popped it up and I said, hey, that's pretty cool.
What do you mean by enter key?
There is actually an enter key on a keyboard.
Oh, okay.
And I have a keyboard attached to my iPad because I'm one of these lazy people that doesn't like to play with touch screens. So I have a keyboard. But anyway, I was a little surprised that it worked that way because I spent 20 minutes looking for the button, couldn't find a button. And
that, it can be tricky, and I'm going to kind of talk
yeah,
through that.
Yeah, okay. And I'll
put in K7EAR and came up -R.
Yep. That's right. Now, the dash R means
that's a repeater.
It's a repeater.
If it had dash L, it would be link.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I would just double tap on that one.
Yep.
So the dash R is the integral part of the call sign?
No.
No.
Yeah, you have now connected to the repeater.
Yeah, you connected. So we can sit here in this room and connect through a repeater.
Oh, yeah. Here you go, John.
Let me take it for just a second.
Here you go, John.
Okay. Uh-oh. So you just heard that beep out of Renee's phone, which means that she just connected to that repeater.
Actually, that was out of mine. Like someone else is
connected,
so.
Okay.
So
what just happened is they connected in the middle of a conversation that was taking place on that repeater, which is okay. It doesn't hurt anything. But what would happen is the Repeater users just heard KF4CHY connect, or K7, I can't remember your
EAR.
K7EAR. Well, that's the repeater call. But the gentleman who's in front of me, he was just
KE7JA.
Yeah. So the users may have heard KE7JA connect when he just connected, because he connected in the middle of a conversation.
And then I just ended it.
And he disconnected. So they may have also heard the disconnect message. So the thing to remember about this is that when you connect to a repeater, your connection is announced in speech. To people on the radio,
usually,
depending on how EchoLink is configured on their end, it's usually announced, and we're going to get into John's going to get into how you actually transmit and receive, you know, using your iDevice, because what you're really doing is you're using your iDevice just as though it were a transceiver, as though it were a handheld radio, is what you're really doing. So it makes it kind of nice. Okay, I'm going to hand it back.
Okay. I'll disconnect from this now.
Go ahead and disconnect. Sure.
Yeah.
Or you can stay connected.
You can stay connected if you want.
Actually, stay connected, Renee, because when John connects, we'll see if you hear John when he talks.
Another thing, if she wants to make sure her stuff is working, I can bring up 6.5 down here. We could have her connect to the Adiam conference or something.
Yeah, we could do that. I think John's going to connect to K7EAR here in just a second.
Yeah, that's the idea. Hang on.
Users. Button.
The users is in there.
Recent QSOs. Button.
The QSOs for the recent chats that you've had.
QSO. Text.
Then the bottom has QSO, five things. QSO.
Text.
You see it. Listen.
QSO. Tab. 1 of 5.
QSO tab. 1 of 5.
Text.
You can send text, which is totally off the grid. It's just within the program. It's like messaging. It's like using Instant Messenger or something like that. But it's really, you're not using the amateur radio side of this program. Say again, Beth?
Yeah, in other words, somebody could send a message to you that says, I'm going to connect you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Selected stations.
Selected stations, because we're on a list of stations.
Favorites.
Favorites, you can make a favorite.
Settings.
Settings. I don't know if I want to mess with settings right off.
Probably not.
Not right now.
It'd be a little bit much. Okay, so.
Search call sign.
Search call sign is what we're going to do. All right. Search call sign, location, or node. So we're going to do.
Delete. Cap K. Cap K. More. 6, 7, 7. More. Cap A. Cap T. Cap R.
And you go to the lower right, extreme lower right.
Search. Search results. Stations. Back button.
And look up in the search upper left.
Cap K. Heading. K7UR. Stafford. AZ.
There it is.
Stafford AZ. So I'm going to double tap it.
Search results. Back button. Stafford. Connect. Button.
Then I flicked. I'm going to connect.
Connect. Alert. Connect failed.
Oh, connect failed. I don't know why.
Cannot connect to K7UR. No route is available to the station you selected. Please try again later.
Well, that bites.
Yeah.
Cancel.
Renee broke it.
Is it possible they only accept one connect at a time, and Renee's connected?
No, since I was on it, she was on at the same time.
Yeah.
Wait, don't disconnect just yet.
No.
Connect. Button. Connect. Alert. Connect failed.
All right, can't do it.
Cannot connect. Cancel.
Do you not have cellular service in here?
Three of 3 Wi-Fi bars.
He's got to have it because it brought up the.
Yeah, it says he's got three of 3 Wi-Fi bars. That's true. No, he's got to have
that. That thing does funky things sometimes. I don't know why.
Just.
I'll try it again.
Connect
fail. That's not
going to
work.
He can't get through the hotel's router. Is that the problem?
I don't know, John.
I wonder if she shut the Wi-Fi off, John, if that was...
Unless she's doing her own cell. But, John, are you doing it through your cell or through the...
I'm doing it through the...
I wonder if he has to log in first with the Wi-Fi.
Oh, if you're trying to do it through the...
Maybe if you try, can you do it on the cell side?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's all right. All
you have to do is shut the Wi-Fi off and then revert to the cell phone.
What I'm going to do.
You're going through their network.
App switcher. Search results.
Somebody's connected.
Well, I'm going to close Echo Link right now. Hang on.
Page 2 of 6.
You don't need to hear this part of it. I'm going to go to settings and turn off the Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. At Hyatt _ Wi-Fi. Airplane mode. Wi-Fi.
No, no, you're fine. You're fine, Renee. You're fine, Renee. You're not the problem. This is a local glitch.
It's a heartbreak when this stuff happens. Okay.
Technology is wonderful when it works.
Page 2 of 6. Page 3. Page 4. Tips. Echo Link.
Can I go back into Echo Link?
What was that call sign?
Alert. Logging at stations.
K7EAR. Hang on. So I'm going to go to...
Search call sign. Location. Okay. Or no. Count K. Count K. More. 7. 7. More. Count R. Count B. Count B. Count A. Count A. Count R. Count R. Search. Search results.
He's good at it.
Table index. Search call sign. Take K7ERR. Stafford. Search results. Back SAP node 614 Stafford connect button connect alert connect fail.
Oh, damn,
I can't get it.
Would it be, I don't know.
Cannot connect K7ERR. No route is available to the station you selected.
No route.
Please try again later. Cancel.
Well, we actually have.
Give me another one.
We actually have two. Search results. We actually have two people connected to K7EAR right
okay.
now. This gentleman in front of me and Renee.
So here, take the mic and you do it.
Why don't you go ahead and make a you transmission talk through. And let's see if you come through Renee's sure. phone.
Yeah. I don't know why.
This is KE7JA. I'm at a
Now, how does she do it? How does she?
She's got to find the transmit button.
Oh.
Where is it usually?
Okay. On mine is down lower left.
Lower left.
So okay. you double okay. tap on the
double
transmit.
Double tap it, and then call him, and then call him back, and then hit the end button.
K7ERR. Stafford. No. 6-1. Connect.
Well, you have to.
This is
KM4CH1.
Also
working.
It's working.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you.
We got to get her to stop transmitting.
So now when I'm going to stop transmitting.
Hit end. You got to. Go to the end button.
If you tap the microphone.
Tap the microphone.
6-1. Connect. Button. Connect. Alert. Connect. Fail. Connect. Cancel. Button. Cancel. Search results. Back button. Search. Search result. Echo link. Calendar. Video calendar. Clear.
Yeah, she was back in receive.
Yep.
So what we've been able to do here is to
we've demonstrated
the entire resources of the internet so the two people 20 feet apart can talk to each other. This is a milestone in ham radio.
And they talk to each other through Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't want any of this, you know, minimal distance stuff.
We should have gone through like a repeater in Russia or something. You know, yeah. It reminds me of the phone freaks who used to like, you know.
Yeah.
Here you go, John.
Yeah. But Renee, that was a really neat thing she does.
But see, there you go, and you know that's. That's it in a nutshell. I don't know what else there is to demonstrate, unless you want to talk about where the positions of the buttons are on the screen and things of that nature.
What I'd like to know is, okay, so I have this repeater, and it would be nice to have one for the handy hand as well. Do they have like a favorite? You can save it?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Can.
And yeah. One of the things. Let me
here,
see.
Here, take the mic. Take the mic. Yeah.
One of the things that happens when you find a station. And you double tap on the call that you found when John searched for that K7EAR dash R, and he tapped on it. It opened up another little window that in that window had a couple of different buttons. One was the connect button. One was an add to favorites button. And there may be another button, but I can't think of what it is. But those two are in there. And the other thing that will happen now, Renee, is that in your recent calls, a recent QSOs tab, you will see that repeater still there. So let's say that you had forgotten to, you know, put it in your favorites. You could do it later. Now, what you'd have to do to get the Handy Hams repeater in there is find it, maybe do a search for it.
Or you can type it in by node number.
Or you can type it in by node number if you know.
Yeah. that we know the number.
So I found the favorites tab, so that's the one that would just happen.
And, well, that would show you the K70AR repeater, which are, well,
once you've added
it. Once you've added
it. In other words, once you tap a, once you have a repeater, it's already saved in.
No, because you didn't add it to favorites when you had that little window open. You just connected to it. So I think if you went to recent, it would show it in there, but then you'd have to open the window again. I think this is the way it works. This is a part of it that I'm a little bit shaky on because I haven't used it a lot. Here you go, John.
Yeah, the QSO button, I believe, will show you the recent QSOs that you've had. And so it would... Okay, somebody just disconnected from... Okay, this gentleman just disconnected from the repeater. So, Renee, I don't know if you'd want to put the K70AR repeater in your favorites. In other words, I don't know if that's one that you would ever use again in the future.
John, do you monitor that one?
Usually.
Oh, okay. John monitors that one. John McCann does, when he's at home in Arizona. So
if you need to talk to John,
you would want to, you know, have that
to me,
your
you know.
Favorites. You can talk to him. Let's use a specific example, though, of getting you to the HandyCam conference, because that's one that you're definitely going to want. So if you go into the search area where you can search by call sign or node number or location.
I have to get back to the K7
but this time it said can't connect. Bye-bye.
Jesus.
I don't know what the hell is wrong.
You hit end. Oh, go ahead and hit end again so that you disconnect from the computer.
Go to KY2D.
Okay.
There you go. That got you disconnected. Now you should be able to go back
unless
to the
you're
search
not
field.
To, to connect to conferences? I don't know if that's
I mean, I used to use this all the time.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't
John, how does she get back to the search box?
Once she's disconnected, it should be up
should
in the upper left.
Up just in the upper left.
Once, just
upper
be
left
upper left.
Right, you see
or go to or hit search hit the middle thing like call signs, and you know I just go back to.
Upper right,
look for a magnifying glass. The gentleman says.
But one thing you guys should point out is when you use handy
app. Can she hit stations? Would that help? If she hit the station,
I'm coming toward you.
Okay.
See, now I'm connected.
She's okay.
Oh, maybe
John
it's too many people.
Got connected,
I got connected.
With his phone, so we're not sure why he had trouble in the past.
Okay.
Where are
you sitting?
Okay.
This is Renee.
Oh, Renee?
Yeah. Here's the phone.
I'm actually, John McCann is probably the
best one
to
do this with.
What's
this?
On my phone.
Okay. Yeah.
So, John, what we want to do with Renee is we want to get to HandyCam.
Swipe up or down
with
one finger is connected.
All
right. So we want to add HandyCam to favorites.
Uh-huh.
So let's see. You want to do search.
One, not disconnect.
All right, we did.
Sometimes it shows that button even though you're actually disconnected.
I just go to stations at the bottom.
Okay.
Then you do
search results.
Then back buttons.
Search results. Search calls.
See what I did was go to stations, and then because your search was in there, I you know like want to cancel that out. Now. Oh, someone's listening on the other thing now. So.
K7ARR Safford.
Oh, you're in there.
Cap K at table index at K7 cap tabling search call stations back stations.
Now
you had a
back.
Go back.
You probably want to go back.
Location.
All right, now I got it. So I'm going to double tap. I'm going to double tap.
Search field is editing character mode.
Now we got to put in the node, right?
In search more numbers.
So I'm going to get numbers, and it's 2. It's 494492, right?
Yes. Cap R. Listen to cap F, cap more numbers.
There you go.
Cap R, users, but cap X. Cap
I'm tapping
numbers.
More numbers.
It's the top of the hour. To listen to USOs, cap T. Cap links, but
no, I'm tapping more numbers, and it's not...
More letters.
More
symbols.
Now you're on symbols.
More three.
Oh, here.
Listen to USOs, five.
All right, now you want... Hey.
494.
Four. Eight. 9 9 4 4 5 4 4 8 9 9 3 2 2
All right.
Search. Search results.
HANDIHAM*.
Hey, yep, he's got it.
If I didn't know the number, which I wouldn't, can you just type Handy Ham or whatever?
You probably could, but he knew the number, so that was convenient to do it. So now we just flick through to find.
QSO text selected favorites tab.
Well, wait.
Okay,
you need to tap on the handicap. Okay, fine. Thing to open the window.
*HANDIHAM*.
So I got a double tap.
*H search results back button.
I did that.
Connect button.
It says connect.
Add to favorites.
Add to favorites. Okay, wait a second.
Guys.
One at a time. On. Okay.
Well, sometimes when you connect to conferences with a cell phone,
right?
It only allows so many, and sometimes it won't let you do it.
I think the
Handy Ham
server allows quite a few.
It does. It's not a problem with the Handy Ham conference. It has to do some sort of relay server of Echo Link.
Oh, okay.
And so sometimes it won't let you connect.
Okay,
so
we'll see if we can get connected here.
What you could do then in that case is connect to one of the repeaters that you know is connected.
Right.
So you
That's
can get
right.
Fine.
That's right. So, what Matt's saying is that sometimes, and I've seen this before when I've been using my iPod, that some conferences, there does seem to be some sort of a limit to the number of iDevices that can be connected. And there has been a time or two when I did want to get onto Handy Hams, and I couldn't connect to it. And so what I ended up doing was connecting to Matt's repeater instead, which was, and his repeater was already connected to Handy Hams. So this is a detail that may be a little more technical than we really need to go into here, but it occasionally happens.
I'm just saying we should give her the information.
Sure.
She's welcome to use it.
Sure. So, John, you double tapped on that, right?
Yeah, I did, and I saw connect, and then I saw add to favorites.
Okay.
So.
Add to favorites.
See, it was connect, and then add to favorites. I just double tap on that, I guess.
Okay, yeah, you just double tap on that.
Yep.
And that
add to favorites. Dimmed.
Then it says dimmed, so I'm going to take it.
That means it's no longer available.
Five, yeah. Node 494492.
So
connect button.
Okay,
add to favorites.
Go ahead and hit the connect button.
Connect
see,
button.
Okay, so
he's connected.
John just got Renee's phone.
Sorry,
Jan,
the
IHM's
are.
And that K0PQW just made a transmission on a local repeater here that is also connected to Andy. And he just came through Renee's phone about 10 seconds later.
So now if I find a trick.
There he is.
Okay.
So John, see
Sorry,
if you can talk back.
Valley. CONF and but volume 1 and CONF and Golden Valley.
I'm looking for the transmit thing is
and volume airplay but selected text tab 2 stations tab text.
It's hard to find.
It's hard to find the transmit
stations tab text selected airplay volume and button transmit button.
There it is.
Double tap that.
Transmitting.
Okay, this is KW4U, King William 4 United, doing a test right here in the ACB convention. I've got excellent audio because I'm that kind of guy. So, we are testing the Echolink program right here at a joint session of Blind Information Technology Specialists and ACB Radio Amateurs. At this point, I will look for the end button, double tap it, and I will be gone. KW4U is clear.
Button. Tap to stop button.
Tap to stop.
Double tap. Golden Valley.
Now you'll notice a couple of things here. Number one, there was a delay between when John was talking and when his voice actually got out of Echolink. And that's because you got things going through the internet, you got things going through repeaters, you got buffering. And sometimes that delay really drives you crazy when you're listening to your Echolink thing and somebody's transmission ends and you think, oh, I ought to be able to talk, but maybe you can and maybe you can't. So one of the downsides of this kind of communication is what they call latency, which is all these little crazy delays that you get.
Which you do get.
Is this a program that you can have, and I don't mean to be hoarding all the questions, but is this a program that you can have in the background? Let's say you don't have anything to say or you're not connected
to
any particular
transmission,
but you could, like you would your own regular physical radio line, you could also have, and you could just do whatever you're doing.
Now remember that if you do that, one of the things that, one of, no, 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 that wasn't what I was going to say. you're losing your limit, lady. one of the things that may happen if you do that is that somebody will see you and go, oh, Renee, I want to talk to her. And so you'll suddenly be
like having your Skype open.
And you don't really, you may not realize it, and it may be a little unnerving if you don't expect it to happen. You know, because you're sitting there thinking you're just monitoring the channel, and all of a sudden somebody's connected and say, hey, Renee, how you doing? And you go, wait a minute, where'd you come from? So, I mean,
well,
can
you, like, connect a repeater to an iPhone user? I think it's just not available.
Maybe not a repeater, but supposing that I was logged in as WA1RTB, and Renee is logged in, and I'm cruising down the list of stations I got, and I see her there, and I go, oh, I'm going to give her a shout.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I'm suddenly connected to you, and you're going, gee, I didn't expect anything to happen because I was just sitting here monitoring. It's not like, you know, in ham radio itself, when you call somebody, they may not answer, so you still haven't got a real QSO going. But with EchoLink, the way you call somebody is you actually connect to them, and all of a sudden you're there, and then they're there, and you know.
That's interesting. So yeah, so no, but you have to be monitoring a particular station.
Well, no, just as long as your program is running, you show up in everybody else that's on.
Oh,
see, so you've got potentially 5,000 people,
863
people who can see you the minute you log in. And that's remember I told you earlier in the talk that
it's an active.
Let me make a quick comment.
Well, when you're logged into the network,
I can go back and sit down.
One of the comments that I was going to make is that often with my iPod, when I'm at home, Renee, I do exactly what you were just talking about. I'll have EchoLink on, and I'll be monitoring the HandyHam conference server. And there are times that I monitor for hours. I mean, that I just basically use my iPod, like a ham radio receiver, listening to a repeater, if you will. And the actual likelihood that somebody would connect to you directly while you're doing that is really, really small. You know, unless a friend just happened to see you in the connect list because maybe they had you saved as a favorite. So the likelihood of you getting a direct connect when you're just sitting monitoring something is not real. It's not real high that's going to happen. But Steve had a very good point that, you know, anytime that you have the program running, there is the possibility that somebody could connect to you because they will see that you're live. And so you just kind of have to be aware of it. But like I said, I will just monitor the HandyHam conference in the background a lot of times when I'm doing other things, and it's really kind of fun because
so
it can.
Do you just connect to it? And I thought there was a timeout. There isn't.
No, there's no timeout. Wow.
The only timeout that there may be. If you're actually transmitting, then the repeater may time out, and EchoLink may time out then. But not for a connection.
Some repeaters have timeout built in, have EchoLink timeout built in.
Yeah.
For example, a local repeater that I'm the trustee of in California, we have a 20-minute timer programmed. And basically what that means is that if someone on our repeater connects to another EchoLink station, or if an EchoLink station connects to us, and there is no activity on our repeater's receiver for 20 minutes, it will automatically disconnect. And the reason that I set that up is I had a couple of guys that, you know, they'd make an EchoLink connection, they'd get to work, they'd go in the building and forget that they had made the connection, and the repeater got left up all day connected to something with traffic coming out of it that nobody on the repeater was interested in listening to.
Yeah.
And so we just sort of put that in as kind of a safety that if there's no activity from our end in 20 minutes, it will go ahead and disconnect.
I had a question for Steve.
Here
yeah.
it is.
Yep.
Using the iPad and your keyboard, does the end button show up or do you have to...
On the keyboard, what I do is it just it just sits on the same button, and the transmit button, I think, becomes an end button.
Okay, I wondered about that. That's, yeah, so it toggles. Okay.
Right, yeah. Right.
I have a question.
Keyboard is nicer, I will say that.
You
can do it, with it, but keyboard is a little nicer.
Although, I have sometimes run into the problem where buttons, I think I'm on a button on the keyboard, and I double tap it, and I'm not on the button, so I have to sit there and kind of swipe and flick around and get there.
I did too. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not perfect. Yeah. Somebody had a question?
I do. This is almost related to what we're talking about.
That was great. It's, it's not about top 40 radio.
Exactly.
All
right. No, it's about oldies.
Back in the last decade or so, there was a similar project to EchoLink called IRLP, the Internet Radio.
Yeah, right.
What I'm wondering is if it has a similar app.
No. I've only known that being on Linux. But
John Glass may have some words of wisdom.
Okay, thank you. IRLP still exists and is still very popular. There is no app for it, and you also are not able to access it from your computer. IRLP requires custom hardware that you install on your computer, and the software runs under Linux. And you may think I just had a contradiction in terms, because I said you couldn't use it on your computer, and then I said you install this hardware on your computer. Well, the concept behind IRLP was to connect radios together on the internet, whether they be repeaters or simplex nodes. And so what you do to use the IRLP system is you have a Linux computer with this custom board in it that provides all of the push-to-talk and receiver switching and audio switching. Well, actually not audio. Well, yeah, it does do audio because it's got codecs on it and stuff. But IRLP is meant to connect repeaters together and or simplex nodes, but it's not intended for individual users other than people using it on the radio. So IRLP you use through your local repeater or through a local simplex node with a touchtone pad on your radio.
Is it still more used than EchoLink is, or is EchoLink?
EchoLink is probably more used than IRLP because it's easier to get nodes set up. Because EchoLink runs under Windows, and you know, if you want to put it on your repeater or a simplex node, it's just easier. I think it's easier for the average ham to get it going, especially since you don't have to be familiar with Linux.
Sure.
There was an email program before that. I cannot remember the name of it. Back in the 80s and 90s, when they started using the internet, and I can't remember the name of the email program. It was slow.
What, CC?
Are you thinking of EQSO?
That's one of them, but there was something past. I'll have to think of it.
There have been a number of different, different programs.
There's another
program that is computer only. Well, pretty much computer only. I think is it called CQ100?
Yeah, that's computer only.
That's computer only, and basically it's a
subscription service.
It's a subscription service, and it's basically a simulation of ham radio. It's sort of like a. I won't repeat Matt's comment, but
packet mail. That's
packet.
Oh, you're thinking of packet radio? Sure. That still exists.
Really.
It's used primarily now for APRS, Automatic Position Reporting System, and there's still what they call the DX packet cluster, at least out on the West Coast. And so, guys, hams who are big DXers on the HF bands, you know, if there's a rare country that pops up on 20 meters, they'll report it through this packet system, and all of a sudden there will be a big pileup. So that's one way that packet is used. Also, where we are in Northern California, packet is used a little bit for ARES and RACES, emergency communications for passing messages back and forth.
I still have a bunch of packet notes running.
And Betsy says she still has a bunch of packet notes running under W1HAD.
You know, I had that interfaced once in working with an old VersaBraille.
I used to use
I used to use a VersaBraille. Right now I'm using just a laptop with a Braille display.
Laptop with a Braille display, yeah. I used to use Packet with my Braille and Speak years ago. As a matter of fact, I don't want to be the one to actually take credit for this, but I think I was the one who gave Dean Blasey the idea.
Yeah.
You may remember in the Braille and Speak there was a feature called Ham Calls in the status menu.
Yeah.
And when you turn that feature on, what it would do is if it saw a word with a number in the middle of it, it would pronounce that word character by character. So instead of saying K1 ear, it would say K1 E-I-R. And it really made it handy for those of us who were hams using Packet at the time when Braille
Speak. ASAP did that too.
I think they did. Vocalize did, and there were a number of screen readers that did the same thing.
Hey, I'm gonna, John.
Yeah, Shirley.
I'm wondering, and I know, you know, you can't do a lot of individual stuff today yet, but I would like to set up something with one of you guys this week to get together for a little bit and try and see if we can get EchoLink working on my phone, because we've got it on the iPhone, but I've never really worked with it or been working. And we have a friend like in Florida that does a net every week that he has, you know, an
if you have an iPhone, it should be easy to do.
I'm going to hand it back to John here. Just a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I'll tell you the truth, and I'm willing to talk about this some more. We have about a little over 10 minutes. I mean, we can continue to talk about this, or we can just hit the highlights of the other thing that we were holding in reserve. was talking about other amateur radio applications briefly. What I have in mind is to show you, if you want, repeater book and then R-Finder. R-Finder is the one, the ARRL had its own repeater directory, and it decided in February of this year that it wasn't no longer going to do that. It was going to contract with this R-Finder program. It does cost $10. Repeater book doesn't cost anything. But I think we've demonstrated.
Yeah.
So it's up to you if you want to hear about those, or if you
I
want
would.
To. Okay. Well, that's one person.
And Shirley, one of us, we'll get together with you this week.
I very much would appreciate
we'll,
that.
We'll work with you.
So does anybody have this room?
No, we have. We're doing something at 2:45.
I've got repeater book on my phone.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. And it's
the league contracted with R-Finder.
Oh, okay.
And R-Finder is another program.
All right.
But I'll show you repeater book first. It's kind of cool. Let's see.
Weather radio. Okay.
Well, we don't want weather radio.
I'm not a big repeater.
Dial calendar. Weather radio. Repeater book.
It's fun to watch somebody else do it.
Repeater book.
Yeah.
No.
Repeater book. N34IX. Heading.
It says EN or EM. I'll have to check.
Selected. N34IX.
Well, I'm going to do a character by character. Now, that is your grid square, which is so cool. It's at the very bottom left.
Speech rate. Characters. Cap E.
Cap M.
November.
I think it's E M.
Three.
It's
four.
November.
Cap
I. Is
cap
it?
Four. Three. Cap M. November.
Oh, and geez, see, I can't hear any. My hearing's toast.
That's
all right. All right. Echo November.
Cap M. Three. Four. Cap I. Cap X.
I get those.
X ray.
So that's your grid square, which is incredibly cool. Now there's three things along the bottom. There's that.
Information.
Two, settings. It won't mess with settings now, but information, I think it's just information about the program. I think it just tells you.
Settings.
Oh, come on.
Repeater book. Powered by the popular community database of repeater book and software of ZBN2. Repeater book enables you to easily find repeaters worldwide for free and without a network connection. If you like repeater book, please review it. If
and
not, please,
and please
me
give
me
some money. Okay.
N34IX.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go.
Items.
Now what it said is EM. EN34IX. Listen.
N34IX. 96 items.
96 items. So it's showing 96 repeaters. There's one thing I'm gonna show you here in settings.
Settings. Tab.
Yeah, well, because it's probably within 50 miles.
Well, and remember, it's not only
It's not only the 2 meters one.
Yeah,
it's the 10 meters, the 6 meters, the 2, the 220, the 440.
Yeah,
well, maybe even 1296.
Yeah, 1296. Sure.
If they just put FM, they didn't put DMR repeaters.
Oh, you can set it for that too. Yeah, they should. I'm going to go to settings and show you. See, the fact you could have a bazillion things in here. You don't look. I'm going to get. So we're going to do. We're not going to get to R Finder. That's okay, I guess. I'm going to go into settings just to show you.
Selected settings.
Okay, go to the top.
Heading. Display bands. Heading.
Okay. Display bands.
All right, 10 meters. 10 meters.
I got
switch
it.
Button. Off.
I turned it off.
I understand.
6 meters. 6 meters. Switch button. Off.
Don't.
Yeah, I got it.
4 meters.
I mean, why would you put 4 meters
because,
on unless you're local?
Because it's British.
If you go to Britain, you know, yeah, then you know. But in the U.S., I mean, turn it off. We won't show you anything anyway.
Two meters. 1.25 meters. 170 centimeters. 33 centimeters.
That's the nine. That's the ISM band 902 to 928, centered around 915, where the microwaves used to work.
23 centimeters.
Okay, I get it.
13 centimeters. 9 centimeters, 5 gigahertz, 10 gigahertz, 24 gigahertz.
See if there's a 24 gigahertz repeater, it'll be listed here.
24 display services.
Now we get display services.
FM, switch, D star, switch button, off. Yaesu system fusion.
Yaesu system fusion.
IRLP.
IRLP. We spoke about that.
Echo
Link.
ATV.
Echo 25.
All-Star.
All-Star.
DMR.
You can restrict on all of these.
Oh,
all, I mean, this is an awesome program. Makes me wonder why I spend 10 for the other, but, I have to try it. This is all you ever need in life.
Yeah.
Repeater book is all you ever need in life. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I mean, I downloaded and looked at it fast.
So let's see if it can find my repeater.
Well, I always use this. I'm not sure about. See, well, you know how you'd have to do that? You'd have to put in your grid square or something. Because what I use this for is when I arrive in town, I just boot this puppy up and I'll see what it shows.
But can't you search for a call?
Can't you search?
I don't believe so.
0.8 miles.
Listen. No. But what you could do is go to a location. Maybe you can put in a location. See, I know I don't use it for that. I use it for, like, when I arrive in a city, like when here's a perfect case in point.
Oh, it's got a GPS in it, so it knows.
Yeah. This October, I'm going to wind up in Reno, right? Because the fall board meeting's in Reno. Bang, the plane touches down in Reno. John gets in his hotel room. What does John do? He boots up repeater book to see what the heck's around him.
Right.
That's the way I use it. I don't really boot it up in Tucson because I kind of know what's there now.
Information on the repeater, the frequency, and
yes, I'm going to show you that now. It gives you the distance from where you are. Listen, it's going to be rapid, but I'll go walk through it.
0.8 miles, northeast, FM, W0YC/Falcon Heights, UMSP, 444.4250+5.0 megahertz, 114.8.
There you go.
Okay, so you'll just do this kind of word.
Zero point eight miles.
The only thing I don't like about this is that sometimes it takes you to the front. You almost have to hear it all together because I'm going to do
0.8 miles north east FM W0YC 0.8 miles.
See, it goes back. You got to do it fast. I hate this part of it.
North east FM W Falk Heights UMS 444.42 405.0.
That's the offset. See, it always. I don't know what UMS. That's obviously your PL.
Yeah.
So it gives you the whole gig.
Can you
go next?
0.9 miles northeast FM KD0/Minneapolis. 147.
See, KD0JA, of course, they have,
You can even set.
How did you get that to come up? Because in the first. When you brought it up, you just got the grid square. So how did
No, that was on the screen, Betsy. It didn't just give me the grid square. I just put my finger in the lower left-hand extreme, lower left-hand corner. This is all up the minute you boot this program up.
Now you can do other.
You
can do another neat thing with that program is, let's say that you only want the repeaters that are within 10 miles.
Yeah.
You can limit it.
Yeah.
in settings. Yeah. You can, you know, I usually,
or you can extend it out to 400 miles if you want to do it. I mean, why you would want to, I don't know, but
so,
you know,
this program really gives you repeaters around where you are.
Exactly. That's its major. That's its major function.
Do a search. But our finder, can you do a search in our finder?
Yes.
Yeah. Our finder is a little more search friendly. This is like you land somewhere and you want to know what's around you. It's like an around me kind of thing. Let's look at settings just for a second.
Oh, those are the different ones you can services.
See, I have auto location on. If I turned it off, then I could search. I'm not sure if I turned it off, but see, this is doing what it's doing because of auto location, right. And that's the way I like it.
Grid square, six chars.
Yeah. Grid squares.
N34 ux, units and sorting. Head, max distance 50. Button.
See, max distance 50. I have it for max. I can restrict it.
Miles or kilometers. Miles. Sort by. Distance. Application information.
Oh, there's a sort by too.
Yeah.
Okay. Sort by distance. Button.
You could sort by. Let's see what parameters you could sort by.
Sort by service. N34IS service.
So you do it by service, so all your D-star repeaters, you know.
Call.
You could do it by call sign.
PL,
you know. Why would you want to sort them from 67 up to 250.3? I don't know.
Well, but if you had a rig that didn't have a...
Fair comment. Well, I think it's ranking not like the ones that don't have a PL versus the ones that do. And the ones that do are probably ranking from PL lowest to highest. Okay.
Frequency. Selected. Sort by. Settings. Back button.
I'm going to go back. Settings. But you can set. It's very configurable in that sense. Now,
3 of 3 Wi-Fi, 2:26 p.m.
It's 2:26, and we're supposed to kind of, you know, break at 2:30. So I don't know that we have time for our finder, but I'll get together with somebody who, you know,
information.
We could do that.
Selected. Information.
But I don't know that we can do it now. We really probably need to. Are there any kind of final comments, or I'll hand it to my colleagues up here first?
Now, if I put Echo Link on my iPad, oh, I don't need any port numbers there.
No. The app figures all that out, and you don't have to do a thing. It's just I downloaded it, it installed, and I ran it.
That's all I did.
And since I was already verified, I didn't even have to do that because I have it running on a couple of desktop computers.
That's what I did. The only problem I had with computers, and that's why I put Echo Link down for, you know, I don't do much anyway with repeaters, but with computers, I had trouble. It would lock up on me. Like, I hit the space bar and transmit, and it would lock in and transmit, and I didn't know.
No, she's talking about it on a computer.
Oh.
I think part of the problem on the computer is that the Echo Link software itself has not been updated very often. They did an update that was supposed to fix some things. It sort of fixed some things. The Echo Link on iDevices works a lot better than it does on the computer.
You don't have to worry about four ringing.
Oh, I know. That's a pain.
One comment.
What's the call sign on the net Friday today?
Oh, the call sign?
KY2D.
It's KY2D-R. And it's very important to know when you're connecting to a station, if you're typing the call sign in manually, whether it's just a call sign, which means it's a user, or a dash R, which is a repeater, or dash L, which is a link. Because it's possible for one person to have all three. For Betsy to be K1EIC on her computer at home, K1EIR, K1EIC dash R could be her repeater, and K1EIC dash L could be a simplex link. And they could all be logged into the network at the same time.
I've actually done that.
And Matt's done that. that's kind of neat that you could have multiple nodes, you know, with those extensions. The thing I was going to mention about the computer and Echo Link is that in Echo Link settings, one of the things that you can do is you can change your push to talk from space to other keys.
Yes.
So, for example, on my computer, I have it set up to be my right control key.
Yeah.
And I also have it set up so that it's, I think they call it momentary.
Momentary,
which means I have to hold it down like a push-to-talk when I'm transmitting, and when I let go, I'm back you know, on back and receive. Why they defaulted it to being the space bar and having, you know, you tap it once, you're transmitting, you tap it again, you're receiving. I don't know why they did that as a default. Perhaps as a sighted person, it's real obvious to you on the screen that you're
Yes, it is. It is.
You could avoid key conflicts with other programs.
Yeah, you can avoid key conflicts too. But that's how that is. Anyway, I guess we're about out of time. I would like to thank everybody for coming and just remind you again about the ACBRA business meeting on Thursday afternoon at 1:15. It's in one of the Greenway rooms. I can't remember which one. I think it might be C. Is it B?
C.
It's C.
Okay.
And tonight, the Bits Mixer, which John can talk about here. Hang on.
There you go.
Okay.
Let's give them a hand, though.
Oh, my. Thank you so much. You got me started. And I apologize that I can't make it to your meeting on Thursday afternoon because...
Oh, that's all right. We're going to take your phone back and disconnect everything.
I'm the president of government employees. I have to be at my luncheon.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for the warm reception. I'm sorry for the glitches. And I really want to thank in a major way the contributions of Steve. And I thought I'd be having to do more of the heavy lifting than I wound up doing. And they've taught me a lot of stuff. So this was very collaborative. And some way back at the end of May, Steve and I said, we got to get together and plan this out. And we didn't ever got around to doing that, but it worked out incredibly well.
Can we have another one next year? That's my question. I mean, because
Let me just speak candidly about, I don't want to get too deeply into this, but I envision, for so long as I have any role in the Blind Information Technology Specialists, I am pledged to having at least one bit session speaking about amateur radio technology.
I think that's good.
Yes. You know, I'm committed to that.
I totally concur.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.
John?
Yeah.
Just something I've been rolling around in my head. Maybe sometime the amateurs want to get on our Geek Talk server and chat.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. That would be kind of neat.
Sure.
Which server?
Team Talk. That's a.
That's the next thing we're going to talk about.
Piece of software.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could be fun.
It's a.
The new version of it works phenomenally well.
Yes, it does.
I wish one of you guys could get with the proprietor of RS Games and show them how to do Team Talk.
I don't understand that RS Games. Like,
well, what's with RS Games? I don't do much gaming, but go ahead, Rick.
RS Games is pretty cool, but the way they had their Team Talk set up, I can't use my microphone and mixer. I've got to use an external mic with it because it's designed that way. But I know Team Talk can be used. I know Team Talk can be used. For the line in, they
of course.
Set up that way.
Yeah, but can't you change that in settings, Rick?
No, because they're using a TeamTalk server. You're not using TeamTalk itself on that end.
Wait a minute. But what are you? So you're using? They're using a TeamTalk server, but how do you get into the? How do you get into it? You run a program on your computer, right?
Hit a button. I can't remember whether it's F2 or what that opens up their Team Talk, internal chat server.
Yeah, but but you still have configurable. I mean, you should be able to configure your own.
You have to have the Team Talk program on your computer device in order to.
I don't think you actually do.
Yeah, you've got to.
I don't think so.
How can you not? How would it know?
Have Team Talk on my computer.
Oh,
are you sure?
All right. Answer that question.
But then.
Oh, unless you're linking over the web to a server. Yes.
Oh, do you log into somewhere in your web browser to run that?
Well, it runs as part of the RS Games program.
So they've got a dedicated Team Talk server that you're slave to.
Then they're making choices about what.
I know.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand the hookup.
You're making a wrong one.
Because when I'm not talking, it doesn't matter. Hey, Steve, I have a question. What's that call sign in Massachusetts that you get on Echo Link at a certain time?
The W1LJO.
W1LJO in Newton.
When are they on?
They're on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. They have a blind ham's net. But I have to tell you, the repeater has been in disarray.
Yes. I found that out.
It got
It got moved. They lost their location, and they moved it to Frank's house, and that has not worked well. And ever since then, it's been very, very spotty on Thursday night. So I wouldn't. Yeah. I'd wait a while on
that. What was this thing on Friday? Oh, that's the KY2D one.
KY2D is a strictly Echo Link.
That's
thing.
Just strictly. Okay. And then that's. No, then I will. Not a repeater.
Thank you. Yeah. So the one to get on, if you want to get on a blind ham's net, is Friday.
Yeah.
Or the daily handy ham
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they do a daily thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I make my standard bits announcement?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Tom. You need a wireless mic? We'll use a podium mic.
I just wanted to take a second to invite people who haven't yet joined us who might want to. If you like what you see, you're perfectly free to contact Mr. Richard. Or we do accept news on PayPal. All it is $20 a year. If you're all interested, we'd love to have you. I just want to make everyone feel as welcome as you would want to be felt.
I'll take dues now, I'll take dues today, I'll take dues tomorrow.
And don't forget our mixer if you haven't.
Yeah, the mixer, that's the premier social event of the ACB convention.
Don't tell RSA that. RSVA that.
BPI. Shh. Oh, yeah, BPI would give me a run for money.
No, they just go somewhere else.
They just.
John.
Yeah.
And check this out. Find what Mini Haha meant this morning. That's happy water, so I will.
That
I will
is sweet.
The
what
Mini
the hell
kind of
thing is this?
That's my iPad.
I didn't think they had the enclosed like clamshell.
Well,
you know, I mean, I didn't think they had that.
No, you can buy a keyboard.
Hey, Matt.
And it slides in.
We'll go over the exhibits in just a minute, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm not very hurt.
Okay. All right.
So this is the iPad. And
yes.
Like
it, yes. And it just slides into that keyboard and connects
to
the Bluetooth.
Let me check my way out of here.
That's incredible.
Steve, are you going to go over the exhibits?
Oh, my God.
I am, yes.
Okay, maybe we can
I gotta think of something like that. Where are you guys going?
The exhibits.